AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, are you aware of the ongoing crisis that we face in this country, but also that really around the world, in which normal sheets of paper, flat sheets of paper,
yes,
have taken on the form, perhaps with the aid of human hands, into three-dimensional shapes, often animal shapes, and then they're just loose. They're on our Chinese takeout.
Yes.
They are in our hotel rooms in the form of towel creatures.
It's the origami menace.
Yeah.
And I've seen it everywhere.
Yeah. And then what are you supposed to do when you need a towel? It's taken on the form of a duck or a monkey.
Or a piece of paper for your grocery list. It's all twisted up into this elegant swan.
And you have to essentially murder the swan in order to find out what you're supposed to buy. You have to murder a monkey in order to towel yourself off.
Sometimes cut the heads off.
Oh, that's really frowned upon.
Yeah, my daughter doesn't like it.
The cutting the heads off of monkeys?
Of her origami.
Towel monkeys?
No.
Okay.
Paper monkeys.
Paper monkeys.
Yeah.
She cuts the heads off?
I do.
Oh, okay. Just to
all right, I kid. But actually, her babysitter creates origami. Her babysitter, we could do an entire episode on, because she's like one of those like super teens who is, volunteering in a neuroscience lab and also practices falconry as well as softball and origami.
Excellent.
So I have been introduced to it in several different ways, but one of my favorite ways is in the documentary Between the Folds.
Yes, this is an excellent documentary. Came out a few years back, and I saw it for the first time, I think, on Netflix streaming. And I think I did a blog post about it and then convinced myself that we had recorded a podcast about it. Because I was looking for it the other day, and I was like, where's that podcast we did on origami? And then I was, oh, we never did one.
I think we both saw it and we were so like, God, this is great, and really amped up, and then sort of
checked it off.
Yeah. That was an awesome podcast on that. So we're really happy that it came back around, because that documentary is fascinating and really plumbs the depth of this artistic form, which is informing all sorts of stuff like applied mathematics and engineering. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah, it is. Origami is such a fascinating topic because it all begins with paper, which is essentially a recent occurrence on the planet.
Yeah, actually, the Chinese first invented paper around 105 AD. And then during the 6th century, Buddhist monks introduced paper to Japan. And as in China, it became a rare and expensive product, and it was prized, and it was reserved usually for special occasions and religious rituals. But as it became more common, so did paper folding. And if you look at the word origami, it's a Japanese word, and oru means to fold, and kami means paper.
Yeah, the premium status of paper, I feel like, can't be overstated. Because, again, for the vast majority of human history, there was no paper. And then as paper began to present itself, paper was a premium item to possess. And if you had it, you were making proper use of it. You were writing on it. You were you were drawing on it. You were creating art or committing language to the paper, and in many cases erasing that information or writing or drawing or painting over it, because the paper itself was so valuable that you were never going to crumple it up, even just to throw it in the wastebasket.
Now, if you could elevate it to an art form, you could also begin to involve it in some serious ceremonial purposes, right? So then it could be used as this other representation of, I guess you could say, religion or spirit, to express some of the thoughts and philosophy behind that.
Yeah, because, it's easy to see how you end up putting these sacred ideas into the paper itself, because language becomes sacred. Artistic interpretations of things become sacred. And as they're committed to the paper becomes sacred in its own right. And then you begin to manipulate this two-dimensional surface into three dimensions. And just the symbolic power of that. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, and it's no accident that nature is highly represented in the form of origami, right? Because this is something that would have been in the Japanese tradition to really uphold nature as something that you would want to replicate in any way that you could.
Yes, you get into the Shinto aspects of there being a sort of holiness in all the corners of nature, and certainly in animals, and therefore to transform the paper into an animal is itself a sacred thing.
Now, this comes from the How Stuff Works article, How Origami Works. It says that one of the oldest and most direct references to paper folding appeared in a 1680 Japanese poem by Ahara Sakaku, in which the author writes about paper butterflies that appear in a dream, which I think is just lovely.
Yes, and then in 1797, that's when you see Akisoto Rito wrote the first instructions for paper folding in a work called Simbarazu Orikata, which means thousand crane foldings. Orikata translated means folded shapes. But in the 19th century, origami becomes the more common term. Now, the thousand crane foldings, that plays into this ancient Japanese legend that promises that anyone who folds 1,000 origami cranes will be granted a wish by the crane, or you'll have some sort of a dream manifested. And I actually have a couple of friends who did this one year. I think they did it for like a New Year's type of thing, where they set out to fold 1,000 paper cranes. And I think I don't remember how the dream, wish granting thing worked out.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a law in place that the closer you get to that 1,000 crane point, the more your paper cranes are going to resemble aardvarks rather than cranes, because your fingers are going to get kind of sore. Your work's becoming more and more imperfect, and by the end, they still look like animals, but maybe not cranes.
Maybe it's your perception is skewed too, because you know how if you stare at certain words, all of a sudden they become alien to you.
They stop being elegant swans full of wishes, and they're more aardvarks that are trying to chew your fingers off.
Well. Now, the father of origami, considered the father of origami, is Akira Yoshizawa. whose majority of work came to notice in the 50s and 60s. And we're talking about a Japanese self-taught origami artist. And in the documentary Between the Folds, he says, quote, "All origami starts with a flat surface. As this paper transforms into three dimensions, origami has within it all the possibilities we associate with creative art." And I thought that, to me, is really underscoring the power of origami, especially when we talk about it in applied mathematics and engineering, these possibilities that it contains within it. And just to give you an idea of how prolific Yoshizawa was, he created 50,000 models, but he never sold a single one. And he sort of revolutionized the whole origami because he used moist paper so that he could sculpt more expressive lines into his creations. And some say that he even created the language for origami, diagramming all of them. So now today, if you crack open an origami book, you'll see these diagrams, which is what Yoshizawa started doing to document his process.
You know, and I think that's one of the aspects of origami that really appeals to everyone, is because, and so certainly I find myself thinking about this, you see a really neat piece of origami, and you admire the beauty of it, you admire the skill and the artistry, but then you also know that there is a diagram that shows you step by step how to get from point A, this blank featureless paper, right out of the stack beside your printer, and how to transform that into that elegant creature, that there are steps to follow, and therefore it seems so achievable that every time I look at origami, I kind of think, hey, maybe I'll learn how to do origami. That could be my thing. And then I sort of imagine myself doing it and realize that I could probably do a lot of it just by following the instructions, and then I don't even bother to actually go down that road.
Well, it is really cool, especially when you look at it in the context of the Between the Folds documentary, because it will really challenge your notion of what origami is. You think of a swan, and then all of a sudden you see this one guy in Israel who is creating these concentric spirals nested in one another that are actually active. They actually move. And you see that sometimes people are coming to this in a very organic, intuitive way. And sometimes people are coming at it in a very mathematical way. In fact, the documentary really deals with those two schools of thoughts.
Yeah, because even the simplest crane, even the most adorable origami creature, that is a product of mathematical precision. That's a matter of these folds, these creases in the paper, ultimately creating the mathematical design of that animal in abstract.
Yeah, and lest you think that origami is just this sort of, you know, informal field, that is very wrong. It's there are many different schools of thoughts and forms of origami. In fact, there are different kinds. There's the one that we just described, which is sort of like your traditional swan. Maybe it has, I don't know, 20 steps of diagrams that you would follow, while you have other ones that are more like 300 steps of diagram to follow. And you have something called modular, which is just like what you would think of in terms of architecture, like taking two modular units and putting them together. We're talking about separate pieces of paper that are merged to create an incredibly complex sculpture.
Then you have action origami, and this is origami that can move with a little human assistance. I believe the origami creatures in Blade Runner worked like this, didn't they? You had the mustachioed character who kept living little swans.
Oh, right, yeah. The detective.
Yeah, played by Edward.
Edward Almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great actor, and of course he was he played that particular role in Blade Runner. Yeah, and I think that was part of the metaphor. You know, that here is something of human creation that is brought to life with the human touch, be it a replicant or an origami crane. But yes, so action origami is designed so that you can manipulate it and it will cause it to move, like wings to flap or a frog to jump, etc.
Yeah, and then you have something called Pure Land, which is a style of origami that restricts artists to making only one fold at a time. So complex folds are forbidden altogether.
And in this, this example, you see some of this, some of the puzzle solving aspects, I think, of origami emerging. How to create things by folding the paper and having to follow certain rules. I mean, not only the physical rules of folding paper, but also the rules of the particular style of origami.
Yeah, and I remember in the documentary, it was really interesting. They were talking about Euclidean lines. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before. Euclidean lines do not exist in our reality, right? But if you mash, if you fold everything and you mash it down, right, to one plane again, mm-hmm. then you do have Euclidean lines. Again, they would go off into infinity, but you have this idea of how those would work. And that's what's so beautiful about origami is that it really obeys the laws of mathematics. And this was plumbed to quite a degree in that documentary, especially with Tom Hall, who works in the math department at Merrimack College in Andover, Massachusetts. And he says, origami is just such a great way to get your hands dirty with math. It becomes your laboratory for doing math. It can do everything from geometry, but also number theory and abstract algebra and linear algebra and bizarre and weird geometry, like geometry of the sphere. This isn't just compartmentalized math, but math that can be wrapped together in weird ways.
And in this, as this whole describes, origami becomes an engineering problem. It ties into the structure of the natural world, of biology, of the cosmos. Again, you're taking mathematics and mathematical purity, and you're also taking this the sheet of paper, which is also a human's construct, and you're using that to bring math alive, in a sense.
Yeah, and that's what he was saying is so interesting about teaching it that way, because essentially, with geometry, it's very abstract. And so if you can create this model that has, as he says, math and all different types of math wrapped up in it, then all of a sudden it becomes something to you. It becomes representational, and that's such a huge part of learning.
Now, we meet Tom Hall in the documentary, Between mm-hmm. the Folds, but we also meet another individual who is quite remarkable, a man by the name of Eric Demain, who is the top origami theorist in the world, a professor of computer science at MIT, and a former child prodigy.
Although he would say it has nothing to do with his accomplishments.
No, but he's a very bright dude. He yeah. started college at 12. He got his PhD at 20. Mm-hmm. Youngest professor ever at MIT, MacArthur Genius Award for his research into folding.
Mm-hmm.
He's a remarkable cat. No two ways around.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that his dad homeschooled him, and mm-hmm. he and his dad are very much a team still, it seems like, because they're puzzle solvers in addition to doing, you know, origami and him being a professor of computer sciences at MIT. But they come at origami in this problem-solving manner.
Yeah, and he's very elegant when he's talking about paper, too, which you might not expect from a child prodigy, MIT computer science paper-folding enthusiast. He's also into glass-blowing, by the way. But he describes origami as, quote, changing the memory of the paper, which is a notable statement to make, especially when you get into some of the applications for origami that we're going to discuss about the physical memory of paper, about paper taking on three-dimensional forms, etc.
Yeah, he says that those folds create a kind of tension and there's an organic shape emerging. And I love this. He says physics finds the right answers, and you see this in paper at play. And we'll go into this a bit more, but he has been instrumental in looking at DNA proteins and diseases in terms of origami, because he says essentially when you're looking at DNA, you're looking at a folding pattern. And just to be reductionist about it, he's saying that if there's a disease, there's a fold in the wrong place.
Yeah, his work takes him from the micro level to outer space, as we'll discuss.
Yeah.
And his work is really a great example of why origami is far from being just this mere hobby, from being this mere, abstraction, even mathematically speaking, but it is something with various real-world applications, again, both inside the human body and in the future out in the void.
On that note, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we are going to talk about the practical applications of origami.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. on demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, we're back. And we're going to discuss now some of the practical applications of origami. Some of these are already in place. They're already at work in the world around us. The origami has already escaped and is out there. In other cases, we're definitely looking into the future of way that origami is going to inform the shape of future technology. Essentially, though, a number of these, anyway, all relate to a basic principle, and that is if you want to make a flat sheet smaller, you're going to want to fold it. And if you want mathematical precision in the way you fold it, if you want certain other attributes in play in the way you fold something, then origami is the discipline to seek out.
That's right, because we're talking about, in this sense, a kind of action origami, right?
Yes.
So you're shaping the thing, and then you're reducing it back to one plane so that it's compact. So if you could do the same thing while you're packing your suitcase, for instance, which I think might be impossible with clothes origami, but you could flatten it and then just pop it back up, it would be pretty amazing, right? You could probably get like 30 pounds of clothes into your suitcase. And so if you look at airbags, this is the perfect example of all these things that we've been talking about, because the algorithm used in computer-designed airbags is based on artistic folds of origami. So those airbags aren't, you know, arbitrarily just wadded up, but they're folded to create that one-dimensional plane that springs into action, that three-dimensional life when it's deployed. And in fact, according to Robert J. Lang, who is another one of these like foremost masters of origami, the airbag flatten algorithm came from all the developments of circle packing and the mathematical theory that was really developed just to create insects. Because he says that in the 90s, if you went to this certain origami convention, people were going nuts with insects and seeing how intricate they could get with them. Mm-hmm. And so every year you'd have more and more intricate insects being introduced, or you'd see scorpions one year. It's that desire and drive for artistic excellence that helped to inform the algorithms that created the airbags that we now have in our cars.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, to go back to your example about packing a suitcase, I mean, it's essentially there's a bad way to pack a suitcase, you could probably sit around and think of the most impractical way to pack a suitcase so that it would be more of an effort to unpack it. And then there is the most effective way that allows for rapid unpacking. And when an airbag goes off, it's essentially the rapid unpacking of the materials in there.
Someone has to come up with this sort of clothes packing suitcase origami.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you just open your suitcase and everything just springs to life?
That would be good. Yeah, it's just it's out there, and then you're ready to move on with your stay in the hotel.
There you go.
Another area that we see application of origami is in the world of telescopes. Surprisingly enough, we see this in the Eyeglass Telescope, NASA's Eyeglass Telescope. We see a foldable satellite lens that's designed to unfurl in orbit, and this is just simply a practical way to fold and store a lens that's made of many segments. And again, it comes back to the basic principle of origami. I have something that's large and more or less flat or composed of flat components, and I need to store that in a smaller form.
Yeah, and Robert J. Lang, he actually created this, and he used the umbrella design that folds down to a cylinder, and then it pops up. And just as a side note, this guy, he ditched his day job at a fiber optics company 13 years ago to devote himself to folding paper, just as a folding paper artist. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the applications that have come out of his work.
And just in case anyone is wondering, that you'll see these individuals refer to it as folding, because it can sort of sound like, oh, you quit your job to fold paper, but no, they often refer to their passion as folding, in addition to the use of the more elegant origami. As long as we're in space, let's talk about solar sails. There's a particular fold known as the Miriori fold, and this was invented by Japanese astrophysicist Koro Miura. And this is a technology that you actually see used in various Japanese space program satellites. And again, it comes back to the principle. You have this solar sail, and we're all familiar with this. This is the more or less flat surface that is out there to absorb solar energy for the benefit of the satellite, to power the satellite. So you want to be able to pack that into a very compact shape, and you want a fold that can be unpacked in a very in a single motion by pulling an opposite end of the folded material. So this way you reduce, because it's all about the economy of getting something in orbit. So you want it, you want the best fold arrangement possible, and you want to be able to unfold it with a limited amount of energy. You can't have enormous motors cranking that thing out. So the economy of origami and the potential of origami really comes into play here.
Yeah, and Brian Trieste, who is an engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, is looking into using this fold, this Miriori fold, to take materials, apply the fold, and then kind of create useful instruments from them. And he's talking about seismometers or atmospheric detectors and sending them up into orbit, essentially. So he's talking about even having a printer sending it into orbit. And then if you need a different sensor or a different part, you would just upload the design and then print it out while you're in space. Now, this is super sort of like future stuff here, but at the same time, you can see how you can go from something like solar sails to creating these objects that can be, you know, flat packed, essentially like, you know, IKEA parallelogram out there, and then printed and creating new ones that could be packed down and then inflated.
Yeah, I mean, bear in mind that, you know, we can currently print things like electric circuits, like solar cells, and displays directly onto a essentially a 2D paper surface.
Yeah.
And that fact alone really opens up the possibilities of what origami can be.
Especially that Miriori kind of fold, because that kind of fold creates this stiffness, but it also can apparently have other properties to it, like sponginess, which is really important in engineering. And the dream, according to Cornell's Itai Cohen, who is an associate professor of physics, and graduate student Jesse Silberg, the dream is to have atomic scale machines programmed based on folding patterns that could snap into place and perform mechanical functions, kind of like the Transformers, where robots fold themselves up, but then they unfurl into these locked sort of human forms. And this dream has been kind of realized right now.
Yes, the dream of essentially an origami robot, which this idea really takes me back because when I was in junior high, I wrote a short story that involved an origami robot. Now, I was very much informed by, like, the story was probably like, 30% me having watched Terminator,
right.
30% having watched Blade Runner, and then a little bit, too, of having caught Demon Seed on TBS or something. I don't know if you remember this, but it was a 1977 sci-fi horror film based on a Dean Koontz novel. And in it, it's about a robot that wants to get a lady pregnant. So it's a little...
Don't they all?
Yeah. So it's a little seedy, a little exploitive. But the robot uses these the computer uses these robotic pseudopods, which in the movie, at least, take on the form of these metallic folding geometric constructions. They're not quite origami, but they call to mind origami. So I was thinking about, what if you had like this kind of metal origami creature that's essentially a flat sheet, but it can fold itself into all the possible forms of a sheet of paper, that it could essentially become an origami spider or a crane and run around and probably stab people with the sharp ends.
Okay.
But in a sense, that's kind of what researchers have been working on. Not so much the stabbingness and certainly not the impregnating part.
No stabbing, no impregnating.
Yeah.
But Samuel Felton, I feel, this graduate student at Harvard, may have hacked into your brain a bit.
Yeah. 2014, team at MIT and Harvard University, which incidentally does involve Eric Demain a little bit, the origami expert that we mentioned earlier, they've been working on origami robots, essentially robots that fold themselves into arbitrary shapes. And in 2014, they succeeded in producing a robot made entirely from parts produced by laser cutting that folds itself up and crawls away as soon as batteries are attached to it. This thing, which looks kind of like an origami spider, but very much like a robot. You look at it and you definitely realize that it's a little robotic construction. But essentially it's made of five layers of material. The middle layer is copper etched into a network of electrical leads. And then that's sandwiched between two structural layers of paper. And the outer layers are composed of a shape memory polymer that folds when heated. So after the laser cut materials are layered together, a microprocessor and one or more small motors are attached to the top surface. And at least in this prototype that they have, that attachment is done manually. But it could be performed by a robotic system in the future. So essentially, what we're talking about here, again, is not an origami, the monster that runs around and stabs people,
right.
But it gets more in line with that idea of a manufacturing technique, of a shape that emerges from a packed form. So instead of it being merely a suitcase that opens and unpacks itself, it could be a cube that unpacks itself, a structure that unpacks itself for use in space or on another planet.
Or drug delivery, which we'll talk about in a second. That self-folding robot took about 2 hours to make the prototype, and we're talking about $100, so pretty simple and cheap. And according to Kenneth Chang, who is writing for the New York Times, the hope is that this will allow computer software to figure out the cuts and folds needed to create complex robots capable of doing just about anything. And Felton is now adapting the technique on a smaller scale to pursue the creation of insect robots.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
So conceivably, we could look to a future in which a spaceship using origami solar sails, origami solar panels, and various origami-inspired parts would sail to a distant planet, say Mars, and then it would send a package down to the surface, perhaps using a parachute-type device that is folded like origami, and then once it hits the surface, it would unpack these structures using origami-style memory materials and origami-inspired robotic insects.
Although at this point, I feel like it might be photons that are origami-packed. I feel like quantum physics has to be involved with this eventually.
What I love about this is that in this scenario, origami kind of becomes the form that humanity takes and human culture takes when it moves beyond Earth. Like, it kind of becomes the idealized version of who and what we are. Maybe I'm stretching a bit there, but.
Robert Lamb, you have an origami soul, an action-induced one. It's lovely.
Yes, it's very thin, but if folded enough, it seems to take on a substantive form.
Yes, it just springs into action. Yeah. Now, another way of using origami is with drug delivery, as we said. So if you look at DNA, it's inherently a programmable molecule, and most people know that adenine binds to thymine and that cytosine binds to guanine. So you have your A, your T, you have your C and your G, right? Your DNA pattern. And this simple pattern, together with an ability to build custom DNA strands from scratch, that lets scientists design these ACTG sequences that create very specific patterns of inter and intra-strand binding. So why is this important to origami? It means that researchers can design DNA molecules which fold into incredibly complex three-dimensional shapes. And this is how the term origami began to become associated with the industry, especially if you look at Eric Demain's work with proteins.
Yeah, because essentially this is how nanotechnology works. It's not about taking a human-scale robot and shrinking it down. It's about figuring out how things mm-hmm. work at the molecular level. And it's easy to think about drugs and medications and think of it in a chemical sense and think of that is distinct from physical reality and physical properties. But clearly, when we're talking about proteins interacting, this is a physical interaction. And so we're looking even further into the future to the possibility of molecular scale machines that can snap into place and perform mechanical tasks inside the body, outside of the body. Again, the future when is very origamic. If you will.
An origami future.
An origami future. Yeah, the more you look at the applications of origami and where it's being used and where it has potential for use, it gets more and more fascinating.
If you want to try to imagine that, here's an example. Let's say you have a tube-shaped piece of DNA origami.
Okay.
And that could deliver payloads of drugs to cancer cells. So the tube could open like a clam, but it's clasped shut by two DNA strands called aptamers. And the aptamers are designed to recognize molecules on the surface of cancer cells. And when they do, they spring apart and they open the tube and they release the drugs from within. Yeah. So again, it's a more effective drug delivery system.
Yeah, you've essentially made a little box out of these proteins, and then you have the lid to the box is hinged on another protein. Again, it's like it's building the robot, building the machine, building the structure out of the materials available at that level.
That can recognize other molecules. It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so you're probably wondering, what's the largest origami sculpture in the world? Because, you know, we think about this more on the tiny scale.
Yeah, I mean, because that's where you get excited, right? Look at all the detail in that small little paper creature. And yet there are some very large pieces, and the largest so far is a life-size white elephant that was created by origami artist Sifo Mabona. And this is following a successful campaign on Indiegogo, which raised nearly $26,000 so that he could bring this to life. It stands 10 feet tall, and it took a team of nearly a dozen people over 4 weeks to fold it into life.
Yeah, a single 220-pound square of handmade paper.
Wow.
And he made a 37-second time-lapse video of the project, and he says, a lot of people said maybe you shouldn't show it because it takes away from the magical aspects of it. And he says, it's, you know, it's one square of paper and now it's this. How is it possible? But the most important idea of the transformation is that anything is possible, and I wanted people to be able to witness that. So again, I think it's really has that sort of elegant idea of the possibilities of this one thing becoming an entirely different thing just with your imagination and just with the sort of physical properties of the world at your disposal.
Yeah, and knowing that there are definite steps to follow to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, in a way, it's a perfect symbol for science itself. And, you know, when science works and when science has accurately described a process.
Now, the tiniest example we could find comes by way of Christian Elbrandt of Denmark, who folded the world's smallest jumping origami frog. It measures only 0.1 inch. That's 2.7 millimeters long. But it can jump 4 inches, or 103 millimeters. And Elbrandt used tweezers, a scalpel, and a pocket lens to create this tiny little amphibian.
Huh.
But just in case you're out there and you think this would be really awesome to do, but you have pulpus laceratophobia, you should stay away from this.
That is a fear of origami?
It's a fear of paper cuts.
Oh, yeah. That would be an inherent risk, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah.
It would
maybe if you're
you.
Doing that wet folding technique, though, maybe that makes things a little less sharp. But
yeah, there you go. For anybody who has pulpus lacerata.
You know, it just occurred to me another example of what is essentially origami that a lot of people probably have experience with is, what do you call that thing that particularly like second graders will do, where you make the little four-way foldy thing,
mm-hmm.
and it has like answers on the inside, and you kind of open it one way, and then it opens the other.
Do you like me? Yes, maybe.
Yeah, that's
no.
The one.
I have to think about it.
It's like the mouth of prophecy for second graders.
I don't know what it's called, but yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I bet that listeners out there have had that experience.
Yeah, because that's a definite origami creation. I mean, a paper airplane is essentially a functional piece of origami. So
I love that you can take this, what is a sort of like highly charged question at that age, let's say 9-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a crush on someone and you create this origami-ish moving sculpture to try to express your feelings.
I know. It's like origami is this powerful thing in human culture that we just totally take for granted, despite the fact that we essentially pray to it when we're young children, and then as adults turn to it for answers to some of our most challenging engineering problems.
Indeed. I want to remind everybody we've got that article on How Stuff Works, How Origami Works.
Yes.
And the documentary is Between the Folds.
Yes. And if you go to stufftoblowyourmind.com and you're streaming this podcast episode off of our website, I will have links to those and other related sources on the page there with you, so you you don't have to go go anywhere while listening to it.
In fact, that site is chock full of stuff.
Yes, chock full of all the podcast episodes way back to the beginning, the ancient days of Stuff to Blow Your Mind podcasting. You'll find all of our videos on the site. You can check out the different things we're doing in the video medium, as well as all of our blog posts going back through the years.
And if you've got some origami-tinged thoughts to share with us, yes, maybe, no, you have to think about it, you can send those to blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit Slack.com to get started.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility